I like to record these talks, so don't give away any information you might not want somebody else to hear. I know we don't have anybody like that here, but let me go ahead and start the meeting. This is the... Okay, somewhere here. Oh, well. I had my notes somewhere, but that ever happened to you? Your stuff runs away from you? You have it, and all of a sudden, it's not where it used to be.
Somebody moved it.
Somebody moved it. Yeah. Well, I think I can remember most of it. This is the Polo Men's Breakfast. We've met pretty much every week since, every quarter. I do another luncheon called the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon that I do weekly, and it's met since 1985. That is a place for businessmen to share their stories, and that's kind of the vision of this breakfast, is to provide a way to get to meet other, meet your neighbors here and find out a little about them, and part of it is just the time you've had at the table already. So, and I've learned a lot of interesting things about John as we were talking there, but it's not, we did have a blessing, but it's not a religious meeting, so those of you who do put your hands on your wallet if you hear church music, you're welcome to attend, and we encourage you to attend, because this is strictly to try to build some community and get to know each other. We have on our website, there are audios of past speakers. I still have a CD player in my car. Did I already ask you who had a CD player? Okay, yeah, okay. And so if you want CDs, I've got them there. I used to spread them all out, but not a lot of people have CD players, so I don't put them, but I have them in the box there. And it's really just a way to get to know each other better here and just get to meet your neighbor and those that are in the area. It's open to really anybody in the United States, so if you know anybody in the United States that would like to come to the breakfast, that would be great. But it's intended to provide some community in this area, Polo Vickery area. So appreciate you being here. Let's see if there's any other things that I usually have on those notes that disappeared. As I mentioned, we do have CDs and past speakers. And then we have an information table. If you have some things you'd like to share with the men here, I don't encourage putting them on the table. I want you to feel free to take them if you want to, but not feel like you have to take them. So if you have some things that you'd like to share with people, I've got a bunch of business cards that men over the years have brought. I'm not really sure exactly if they're still all in business. And also have some information from a guy named Bob Evans, who works at the Ace Hardware. And he had a son that died tragically at a young age. And he had to be in the hospital, around the hospital for many months while his son was fighting this illness. And so what he's done is provided a way for people that are struggling with their children having surgery or something that need to stay around the hospital. He's come up with an apartment place where you can stay, and I think it may even be free. And so that information is over there. But any of you ever seen Bob Evans at the... Yeah. Yeah, and I like his restaurants too. Yeah, right, yeah. So he doesn't have restaurants. So with that, I'm going to ask you to just go around the table and give us your name, what high school you graduated from, and what was your... high school mascot. So, and did I say where you were born? Yeah. Okay. So where you were born, what high school you attended, and the mascot. So I was born in Germany. My parents, we came over when I was 4 years old, 1951. I was born a few years before that. And I went to Goshen High School. I graduated from Goshen High School in Goshen, Indiana. And our mascot was Redskin, who is now the Red Dog or the Red Hawk or something. Because, but, you know, at that time, that was an honor because we always considered people of Indian background to be very fighters and, you know, very courageous people. And so that was the reason for that mascot. But, John, I'm going to turn it, just stand up or just shout real loud and introduce yourself. And
Well, sometimes I forget things. I'm sure none of you guys probably have that problem at all. But before I tell you where I was born and all that, if you like this cross, let me know and I'll give you one. I give these out now to people that would like to have one to wear. But I was born.
Why don't you put your name? Give us your name for the recording here. So
okay, John Reimer. I was born in LJ in 1942, and we moved to Gainesville when I was 12 because my folks wanted to expose me to more culture. Not really, but anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. Most people that know Gainesville are in LJ. But I went to Gainesville High School, and we were the Red Elephants.
And the Red Elephants?
Red Elephants. Why they got that name, I can't tell you. But the other funny story about that was I did play football and baseball in, at Gainesville High School. And when I played football, I weighed 145 pounds. And I noticed in the brochure that they handed out before the ball games where they list all the players and that, they had me listed as 165. I'm sure that would really scare the other team a lot. But anyway, that's a little bit of my history. So.
Great. Jimmy, why don't you introduce yourself? Where you were born and where you went to high school and your high school mascot.
From Salem, Virginia.
Give us your name.
Pardon me?
Give us your name.
Pardon?
Tell us your name for the recording.
James Wright. I've been here for 35 years. As of the 1st of February, I moved here 1989. It's been a nice place to live. I've met a lot of people. And I've enjoyed it being here this morning. But I went to Andrew Lewis High School in Salem, Virginia. I played football there. Romero went in service for 7 years, 10 months and 12 days. And I went to jump school at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I had 43 jumps from the airplane. And I got off of jump status. I ended up at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Wow.
And I went there, and I've been sleeping in a sleeping bag and sleeping guy in the field. I went up there as airborne for several years. So I went to Benning, and I said, I'm not ever going to sleep in another sleeping bag, and I'm not going to look a tree up to go to the bathroom. So, saw signs that a tryout for football. And I hadn't played since high school, so I weighed 140 pounds. And I walked out there, and the guy said, you're going to get killed out here. I said, we'll see. So, first scrimmage. They needed a cornerback, defensive. And so the other guy was Melvin Spencer. He went to North Carolina A&T. So he and I were the cornerbacks back there. And we made a lot of tackles that day, and that's how I made the team.
Awesome.
So, in the first game of the season, the offense got the 4-yard line, and coach called timeout. And he said, Jimmy, you go in right halfback.
Wow.
And he said, I went to score the first touchdown with their boys. So I said, okay, I was on the 4-yard line. It took me 4 tries, but I got that 4-yard line.
What was your mascot name?
Pardon?
What was your high school?
Andrew Lewis.
What was it?
Andrew Lewis.
Andrew Lewis High School, and what was your mascot?
But I went into Maryville.
Your man, I'm sorry, Jimmy. The mascot. What was your, like, the Red Hawks, or what was it?
What was your mascot?
At high school.
Mascot, Wolverines.
Wolverines, okay. Okay, let's go. Let's go to around the room there. Thank you.
Blaine Bailey. I went to Henderson High School in Tucker, Georgia, and we were the Cougars.
Henderson. What year were you? No. What did I say? Never mind. Where were you born? Oh, in Tucker?
Tucker.
Oh, okay. And so you went what high school?
Henderson.
Oh, yeah. And what was there?
We were the Cougars.
Cougars. Okay. I'm trying to write fast here so I get that down. Okay. Ron?
Warren Gerald's. And Lane happens to be my son-in-law. And a buddy also. I was born in Dayton, Ohio, 1939. I went to Englewood, Randolph High School in Englewood, Ohio. And their mascot was a bobcat.
Bobcat. Oh, did you say where you were born?
Tucker, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Is that the third time I've asked that question, Jeff?
He didn't tell you. I did say
that nobody had any problems with forgetting.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Warren, right? Okay. And Tim?
Well, I was born in Rinkle, Georgia. They haven't put my statue up yet, so but I went to Sheffield High School in Sheffield, Alabama. I graduated in 71. I was a trumpet player in the band. So that's where my musical background.
What were the mascots?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, okay.
Yeah. And the reason I asked about the Red Elephant is I graduated from Alabama, and there's a Red Elephant Club. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
So.
But you finally ended up with the right mascot, the Bulldog. That's the name.
we can debate that all day.
Okay.
Alan Kemp, born in our kindred souls. I was born in Dayton, Ohio. 1951, I went to Kettering, Fairmont, that point, Fairmont West, now Fairmont High School, and our mascot was the Dragon. And yes, I did play basketball, but not football.
The Dragon?
Back when I went to high school, 6'6 was big enough to be a center.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently big enough now to be a point guard. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that was in Ohio? Fairmont?
Ohio.
Fairmont, okay.
Kettering, Ohio. Just south of Dayton.
Okay.
Just like Edmund was just north of
Dayton. Oh, farming country.
Yeah.
Okay.
John Splinter. I was born in Freeport, Illinois. Went to school at Dakota High School, which is a small school outside of Freeport. And we were the Indians, and we still are the Indians.
Great.
God bless you.
Good.
Gary Teleski. And I was born in Rockford, Illinois. Went to East Rockford High School. We didn't have a mascot, but we were the E-Reds, the East Rockford Athletic Boys. There was a West High School. I don't know what they called us. I wanted to update you on something when I gave the talk last time. We talked about drug and alcohol. And Monday after I gave the talk, there was a blurb on the news that a supervisor at Brunswick Nuclear Plant tested positive for drugs. And I want to tell you that because programs are still running and they're still doing what they're supposed to be doing. So
that's awesome. And Gary's talk is on the polomensbreakfast.com if you want to listen to it. So. Okay.
My name is Steve Mayer. I was born in a little town in Illinois called Sterling, Illinois. Went to Elgin High School, and the mascot there was probably the one Bulldogs.
And did you give your mascot, Gary? I'm sorry.
There was none. We were the East Rockets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the E-Rabs. The E-Rabs. Yeah. Yeah, I got it right here, the E-Rabs. I'm going to have it. Tough time figuring out why I wrote that down when this meeting is over.
Swedes couldn't come up with it.
Well, good. Well, we don't have a main speaker today. Jimmy, when you feel comfortable and you have the time, we'd like to have you be our speaker. Jimmy is a very, and already has shared with you some of what he would share. But and so be thinking about that. If you feel comfortable telling your story, and it's just you know, just your story. It's not anything specific that you have to cover or anything. But also, want you to keep Tim Nance in your prayers. His wife had a stroke. And Tim has been a regular here at the breakfast, you know him. And then John Arendt said that he's struggling with some real tough medical problems. Who all knows John? You all know him from through the...
Yeah, he actually dated, we had the conversation, because he went to Alabama too.
Yeah.
We had the conversation. He dated the daughter of one of the guy owned a business. He had sold men's clothes. In Florence, Alabama.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about dating Aldous Fick's daughter or whatever. So, anyway.
And you connect with him through the...
First Redeemer, yeah.
Oh, yeah, First Redeemer. Sure. But he's also involved in the American Legion. American Legion, yep. Good, good.
I knew I hadn't seen him in a while, but I didn't know he was sick.
Yeah. He's more advanced in years than I thought he was. He's such a young-looking guy, so you don't know how time passes by real fast. So, I really don't have anything else. If you guys want to have a topic you'd like to discuss or something, and anything you'd like to do here, let me know. And
can I mention my YouTube site?
Yes, please. Yeah, John. Yeah, why don't you tell a little bit about your story briefly?
Well, if you guys are interested, I have a YouTube site called John Reimer Music. And I have a number of songs on there, but I have two gospel songs that I wrote called Yes, I Believe and Embraced by the Light. And we were talking before about, you probably know when you go on the internet now, there's so many people that have had after-death experiences and so forth. And basically I wrote Embraced by the Light because of all those people and all those stories and what they encountered and saw and felt. And so, and they have videos with them. I'm lucky to run across at one of those networking things I go to. A marketing company, and this young lady did my videos for these songs. But I have songs like Christmasville and my Free at Last song and so forth and so forth. But check it out let me know what you think about it. But John Reimer Music.
So. John Reimer, spell your last name.
R-Y-M-E-R.
R-Y-M-E-R.
R-Y-M-E-R, John Reimer Music.
Music.com?
No, it's just John. When you go on YouTube, you just ask for John Reimer Music, and there's about 8 songs on there. But I had I wrote songs for many, many years. I had an agent in Nashville for 5 years. This was before I did the gospel songs. And so there's a few, they're mostly ballads and country songs and the old wedding gown and so forth and so on. But I mainly was telling you about it so that you might... think you might enjoy seeing the Embraced by the Light song and Yes, I Believe song. So that's.
Can you send me the link to YouTube? Then I can put it in the email that I send out?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, YouTube is just, on your cell phone or on your computer at home. If you don't have the app already, I know all you guys know how to get an app for YouTube, but you may already have it on your phone or your computer anyway. So, but let me know what you think about it.
Great. Anyone else want to share something? Or
you said your parents moved you to Gainesville so that you get a little culture. Do you think it worked?
Well, I'm sure already you say, boy, that move didn't work out very well for them. But, it was talking about the Indians and so forth when I was born, as I said, at LJ. But if I talked about my background, kind of like Jimmy and some of the rest of you, you'd be here all day, listen to all the different things I did in my life, and I didn't want to bore you with that, and I didn't know what you did. I've seen the sign up there many, many times, and I didn't know exactly what went on here, and I didn't want to overdo anything. So, LJ was back when I was a boy. I like to talk about LJ because it was a wonderful place to live. I think it probably still is, but named for an Indian chief. And back in those days, there was a tribe there, Cherokee Indians that lived there in the valley. And as you know, from the Trail of Tears, our government rounded all these people up, and they were wonderful family people, the Indians. And they took care of nature, and they were really good tenants for God to have on the earth. And they ran them all up, walked them to Oklahoma, where half of them died on the way out there because of the freezing weather and all that kind of thing. So when I was in LJ, I learned about all those kind of things. But how different it was, I like to tell this story about I could walk to school from where we lived. And about fourth grade, this happened, but I had a big black dog that this young lady had gave me when it was a puppy, and he would follow me to school, and his name was Blackie. Well, I'd get to school, and he'd follow me to school. The dogs were loose back then, and I'd walk in the schoolhouse, and Blackie would walk in the schoolhouse. I'd get to my room and sit down at my desk, and Blackie would walk in and lay down by my desk. And it's funny, I never thought anything about it. Like, well, isn't this unusual that I could take my dog to school? I love to tell kids a story. But that teacher really liked me, and she let me get away with about anything. But he would lay there for a while, and then after a while he'd realize I'm going to be okay here. Nobody's going to kidnap me or anything. And he'd get up and walk out of the schoolhouse and go home. And at the end of the day, I'd walk out of the school building, and Blackie was sitting out there waiting on me. And the funny part about that story is that not one person in that school ever said, "Get that dog out of this schoolhouse." But I love to tell kids that story because they're like, "You could take your dog to school like that?" But it's funny. I never thought anything about it, but times were very different back then. And things like that could happen. No harm to anybody, but it was just to give you a feel of how things were different back then, because I remember the old-timers back then used to talk about, we had a one-room schoolhouse, and it was grades 1 through 12, all in that one room, and we had a coal-burning stove and like that. And they like to talk about that. So now that I'm an old timer, I can talk about my experience with Blackie coming to school and laying by my desk. But anyway, Gainesville was moving to Gainesville was I guess meant to be kind of a thing, but it was quite different for me in those days. But I enjoyed sports and so forth. But I won't bore you anymore with my stories. But I thought I'd give you a little feel of what LJ was like back
then. So that was all in LJ. You moved from there to Gainesville.
Moved to the
big city.
Moved to Gainesville. And my parents lived there until they passed away. And I went to Berry College. Most of you know where Berry is. And all you guys from Illinois, there was in their, they have a senior living, big senior living. They had 30,000 acres back when I was there.
Yeah.
But they now have a big active adult community there at Berry College. And a lot of people from Illinois and Ohio and people like that end up moving there to in this time of their life when they're our age. And that's become really successful. But when I was at Berry, Jimmy had his experiences. But I became a tennis player. I could beat anybody in Gainesville at tennis, but nobody played tennis in those days. But I got to Berry, and I saw the guys playing out there, and I told my friends, "Who are those guys?" "Oh, that's the tennis team." I said, "Well, I can beat those guys." And they said, "Oh, you can't beat." Anyway, I went out, and I played number one at Berry the time I was there, and tennis, and made all-conference when I was there. But when I played shorter, and you guys have heard of Shorter University, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, I didn't know it at the time, but my grandmother play tennis on the shorter, because at one time that was just a girls' school. But anyway, when I went to play shorter, I was sitting on a bench over at shorter, and this very attractive young lady came walking up, and I thought, oh, isn't this nice? She's going to bring me a Coke or something, you know. And she sat down and she said, I'm playing you. I beat all the guys. So anyway, those things, kind of things couldn't happen in the big leagues. But anyway, that was one of the experiences I had playing tennis for Berry College. But anyway, I've talked enough about me. But like I said, I could talk, like Jimmy, I could probably talk all day about some of my experiences. And I did live in Illinois, Glen Ellyn, for briefly. When General Foods transferred me out there and gave, I was a Western Region sales manager. But when I found out how cold it was, and the wind, I had all these heavy clothes, and the wind would come off that lake, and it's like I didn't have any clothes on. I thought, oh, holy cow, this is too cold up here. So anyway, we moved back to Georgia in 1968.
So did the woman beat you?
Pardon me? No, she didn't. No, I've always been a Southern gentleman. Anyway, I just basically, and my game was kind of like that, but anyway, I just kept hitting the ball back to her, and she'd finally make a mistake, and that's how we played. And yes, did I, after the match was over, did I ask her for a phone number? I don't know if I should tell you if I did or I didn't.
Save that for when you tell your whole story.
Okay.
So unlike Bobby Riggs, you won the match.
I did win the match. And like I said, we played schools like West Georgia, LaGrange, Oglethorpe, North Georgia, all those kinds of Emory, and but the funny, I'll tell you one more quick story about the soccer team. Being from the South, I didn't even know what soccer was. We didn't have soccer down here, but I got to Berry. They had a soccer team, one of the few, because they even played schools like Georgia Tech, because there were so few soccer teams around. My roommate was from Panama, and he was the coach of the soccer team. And he would come in every day and complain that, and they had an international team, Turkey, Japan, from all over, different young men from all over the world, Greece. But they had an American goalkeeper who apparently wasn't very good, because my roommate would complain how bad he was at playing goalie. So I said, well, maybe I could help you out. So I went out there, and they put me in goal and started kicking balls at me. And so I became the goalkeeper on the Berry College soccer team.
Wow.
I'd never even seen a soccer match. So anyway, but then I learned what a good sport it is, and what a great spectator sport it is. Because like our football, where you run a play and then stop, and then run a play and stop. This is just like continuous, you know. But anyway, I was the goalkeeper on the Berry College soccer team for a couple of years, too. So I thought I might enjoy how funny that happened, that I show up. Probably the only position I could have played.
Well, we'll hear the rest of John's story and Jimmy's in either May or August. You guys pick when you'd like to talk, because that's exactly what Jimmy was sharing is exactly what I'd like to have men share. I do want to get your bios or something, and when you select when you'd like to speak, if you'd like to speak, and then get the word out to the other men, and maybe get them to get other people to come here too when they see some of your background stuff. That's why I like to put the bios, because you get some common connection there that maybe would make it interesting to come here. I think we're going to go ahead and close it. Anybody want to share anything else briefly here? And thank you for coming. It's always a great time to get to meet people. And John and I've never met, and so it's been a good time. So the next one will be in May, and make sure you get some more to eat there. We don't want that food to go to waste. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's from LJ?
Who's from LJ? Yeah, he was, yeah.
You from LJ?
Yeah,
Eastwood. You ever know Doyle Rogers? Doyle Rogers.
Name doesn't sound familiar, Jimmy.
He was the Wolfman.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, I was over seas with him. Oh. John Waddell. And they played football when Doyle took, and John played football over in overseas there. But when I came to Atlanta, I was up in LJ. I went to the post office and I'm looking for somebody. And I said, you know Doyle Rogers? He said, yeah. He's got a used furniture store down on Whitehall Street.
Wow.
And so I went down and saw him and kind of lost track of him. And I was at looking at a house over in another place, and I ran into this guy who was from LJ. And I said, where are you from? He said, LJ. I said, you know Doyle Rogers? He said, you mean the Wolfman? I said, well, I didn't know that. So, but he and John Waddell were real good friends, and I was real good friends with them overseas.
So he played the Wolfman?
Right.
What was the Wolfman?
He had a furniture business.
Well, yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Come on TV.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
For the Wolfman.
Yeah, the man. Discount furniture store.
Oh, I thought you meant the
Wolfman Jack.
Well, that's just a sampling of what Jimmy's going to share next time. Right, Jimmy? We're going to talk you into being our main speaker?
Listen, I talk a lot, but I like to talk.
It's wonderful.
I never met anybody that didn't ask who you carry insurance with.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I worked on the area, started in 1967, working up in Dublin, Georgia. And that's the finest place in the world to work for.
Where is that, Dublin?
Dillard.
Oh, Dillard. Yeah. Dillard, yeah.
I worked that fire from 1967. And I just talked to somebody this morning from up there, one of my policyholders. He was 100 years old, the 11th of February.
Wow.
He taught at the veterinary school in the University of Georgia. And when I go see him, I always say, I can't stay too long. I've got a lot of people to see. 3 hours later, I'm still there. But I enjoy it because he's very interesting. He's written a couple books about his life history. And he missed by himself, but his daughter just moved back. She retired and moved in the house with him. But he didn't take any medicine. Didn't have a family doctor.
Yeah.
He just said, I just stay away, he said. But his mind is real good, and I called him on his birthday, and but he's a real fine man. His name's Eldon Causey, and but he taught at the university until he retired. But anyway, one of these days I get up and I'll talk.
Yeah, you've got a lot to share. And the other thing you need to help us understand is,
well,
how can we have such a good memory like you do?
Well,
and what do you take to keep your memory?
Well, I always kind of got a motto: if you keep on going, you keep on going.
Yeah.
Once you stop, it's over.
Yeah.
I just turned 89.
Awesome.
But I got to the gym 5 days a week.
Wow.
Walk an hour on the treadmill. I get 3.5 miles. 5 out of 17, 3.5, it's 17 miles. And I walk about 4 or 5 miles of subdivision on weekends.
Right.
But I've always been pretty active. And I like people. And I talk to people. Sometimes it takes me 45 minutes to walk into subdivision. Sometimes it's an hour and a half before I get home. I talked to 10 people one day. I counted them. But they know me. I was in the public the other day, and somebody hollered, said, Jimmy, what are you doing? And he said, you got your raincoat on and your shorts on. I said, well, it was raining when I left to go to the gym this morning. So I did sport it on in the store this morning. But I like people. And I always remember those two people at the meeting over here. got up and said, this is the hardest damn place in the world to meet anybody. And it really got to me. And then I went around and did that like we did this morning. And I said, but I asked you, just give me one more minute. And I said, well, just two guys stand up and said, it's hard to meet people in here. And they said, they stood up. I said, would you do me a favor? Would you take your right arm and hold it up just like this? And they did. And I said, if you do it like this, if you do it like this, you wave and talk to people. First time you know, you have more people talking to you than you shake a stick at. So that's why I know about everybody in the neighborhood, really. I don't remember all the names, but I speak to them. But
I know a lot of people I still don't
it's hard to find anybody in here that's not pretty nice. And if you wait and speak to someone, they're going to wait to speak back to you.
That's a great.
An hour and a half to get home every day because I talk to 10 people. I count them. But it's okay.
Great sharing. What a great way to end the meeting. So Jimmy's going to be up there, and John's going to be speaking, right? At a
anytime.
Polo men's breakfast near you. And like I say, I'd like to, I mean, you guys could share a lot here, but I'd like to put a little bio there and maybe interest some other people so more can hear you talk.
Don't have anybody get a hold of your checking account because it's a chore to change it. I've been on the telephone for 2 weeks. And I don't know whether they got my number, but I got a call, got something charged to me. So I had to cancel my account and get a new account. And I had to go back to everybody. But I had deposits coming out of my check. And deposits going in. I was with Sister 2.5 hours away, changing it over. But I waited in the afternoon, and I said, I'm not going to hang up. They kept saying, we'll be right with you. Got close in time before the guy came and was going to help me. He said, I apologize, but it took 5 seconds.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jimmy. I think if you want to get a cup of coffee or some more food, please do so. And thank you for coming. And we're going to have one of these guys be our next speaker. Right, Jimmy? Raise your right hand. No. Thank you. Thank you.